Today, Congresswoman Deb Haaland begins Senate confirmation hearings as President Biden's pick to head the U.S. Department of the Interior. She is the first Native American nominated to lead a cabinet-level department in American history. Given the Interior Department's history of mistreating Native people and the many intersections its work has with Native nations today, her nomination is huge news. Here to talk about the relationships between the U.S. government and tribes is Aaron Payment. He's chair of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. He also serves as vice president for the National Congress of American Indians. Aaron, welcome back to Stateside.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
What are some top priorities that you'd like to see the Biden administration address in the next year?
First of all, I think we're getting off on a really good start with the Biden-Harris administration issued a presidential memorandum that reinforced consultation, true consultation, government to government with tribes, and set some real strict timelines for when that will have to be done. Some of the main issues, I would say, would be full funding for the treaty and trust responsibility. We say that we prepaid with the 500 million acres of land and promise for health, education, and social welfare into perpetuity. And then that leads us to advanced appropriations. We should not have to worry during sequestration or government shutdowns about getting our funding. Advanced appropriations would appropriate the money 1 year in advance. And then our funding should be mandatory. And just as we can't really evict people, everybody that came here, the federal government should be on the hook to fulfill the treaty and trust responsibility funding. The Supreme Court a number of years ago had a ruling that called into question the land and trust process for tribes. The administration should streamline the land and trust process because, we were once at a time where we didn't have any political capital or resources to fight to protect our natural resources or our land. We're in a different position, and so as tribes rebuild, we need land in order to do that, so the process should be streamlined for tribes. So those are some of the top line issues. As an education leader, I have my doctorate in education, always pushing for additional attention to, we have the worst graduation rate out of any racial ethnic population. 93% of our people go to public schools. So focusing on education and addressing that. Education is one of those treaty and trust responsibilities that we prepaid. So that's another really big one.
The memorandum that you mentioned that President Biden signed last month on tribal consultation, what kind of significance does that hold at home for the Sioux tribe? Are there any issues that kind of consultation might make a difference in?
Oh, yeah. So there's ebbs and flows with federal policy, and, we're inching forward. The first consultation policy was by executive order by President Clinton and then advanced by President Obama, and President Biden took it a step further with some timelines for when it needs to be done. Mainly the reason is because when the federal government, in its paternalistic way, and that's the tradition of America, will make decisions and basically tell tribes after the fact. And so we're actually pushing for prior consent. And so that we need to be engaged in any legislation or any administration implementation that affects tribes. So it will make all the difference in the world because oftentimes federal agencies and bureaucracies take the most direct path and the easy path, which is sometimes not in the best interest of tribes. So this way our voices will be strongly heard and we'll be able to effectuate policy before it happens.
So it's not so much an issue of it's not so much one issue or another, but an overall question of how the process works on all negotiations.
Yes, absolutely.
Representative Deb Haaland's confirmation hearings as Secretary of Interior are a historic mark in terms of the U.S. government. Assuming she's confirmed, do you think she has the opportunity to make some real change that would affect the Sioux tribe and other nations?
I do. First of all, I've read a lot of the back and forth and comments from some senators who call into question her qualifications, and I find that to be very paternalistic and a little misogynistic. Deborah Holland served as a tribal administrator. So somebody who knows what that is, what that means. Tribal administrators have to understand state, local, and federal laws, regulations, and policies, and be adept at applying for federal grants and know how to manage those grants and be subject to audits. And so that experience transcends most of what the executive level appointments in any presidential administration have, and she has that experience. And she also, in the very brief time that she was, that she's been a member of Congress, she's played a very strong leadership role in a bipartisan way, and she's been able to pull together disparate opinions and to come together. And so she has demonstrated her ability to interface at the legislative level, at the executive level, the administrative level. And so she's very well qualified. And so what that means for Indian Country is, for once, we will have a voice like ours and somebody who looks like us that will be at the cabinet level. It's historic because we have never had a Native American nominee at the cabinet level. And when you think about that for a second, that's really a tragedy in and of itself, because, you know, we're, you know, going on 260 or more years as a country, and we've never saw fit to see the talent that is right in front of us. And so Indian Country is celebrating her nomination, and we are resolute to support her nomination. And we're looking to those senators very closely that don't support her, because it doesn't seem possible that you as a senator can support Indian Country and not support the first nominee from Indian Country to serve at the highest level.
Aaron, there are other cabinet appointments awaiting us that have the potential to mean some different things for tribal nations. The Indian Health Service has been so seriously underfunded for so many years. Would you expect that to change if Dr. Rachel Levine is confirmed as the head of the Department of Health and Human Services?
So I you know, we have, under HHS, we have a Secretary Tribal Advisory Council, of which I serve on. And through the different administrations, we've been able to effectively advocate tribal leaders from across the country. And so I believe, especially under this administration, that any nominee that is appointed is going to take the direction from the president and is going to do proper outreach to tribes. A lot of the, what we talked earlier about consultation, so rather than making decisions for us, it'll these decisions will involve us. And so I'm looking forward to whoever ends up being, you know, our chain up to the president. And for the IHS director, I was vetted at one point, and I chose to prioritize my tribal role. I think I have a much louder voice as a tribal leader. And but whoever ends up being the IHS director, we do hope it's an American Indian. But whoever it is, we will make it work.
Yeah. We've said several times over the past 14 months that the COVID-19 pandemic has exposed the very serious fractures in how the United States treats almost all Americans' health, but certainly also people of color. And we know that Native people have been getting sick and have been lost to COVID at several times the rate of other Americans. What's needed right now to triage the situation that you see?
Yes, so I'm glad you asked me that question. The rate of death is 2.5 times for American Indians as it is for the general population. And when we talk about that statistic is probably not as accurate a statistic, and we believe it's worse. And the reason for that is because the data that is collected for tribes is through Indian Health Service. Indian Health Service serves a limited population on or near reservations. So for my tribe, 1/3 of our people live on or near our reservation in what's called our purchase and referred service area, but 2/3 of my members do not. And so just to give you some examples of numbers, we have inoculated over 4,000 people so far. We've been pretty successful in that, but that's 4,000 out of 16,500 in that service area. We have 45,000 members. So 4,000 out of 45,000 is not significant. It's not the kind of headway we should be making. And that's in large part because of the way Health Service, through the Indian Health Services and the federal government, is reaching out to fulfill that treaty and trust responsibility by unfortunately ignoring the largest populations of our tribes, which live away from that service area. And so the need is dire. We believe we have the highest risk. If you look at the Broken Promises report that was published in 2018 by the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, it demonstrates we have the worst of the worst statistics, including heart disease, diabetes, cancer. And so we have the highest risk factors to begin with. Then add to it the rural nature of where our people live, and if they don't live near an IHS health delivery system, those are the people that are most, they're the worst of the worst statistics and the most people that are at risk. And so unfortunately, we are just not reaching them right now. There is no appropriations to reach out to that population. They have to line up like anybody else, any other citizen in the state. And that might not seem unfair because everybody else has got to line up, but tribes have prepaid for our healthcare delivery system. And so 2/3 of my population are left out.
Aaron, I think there's a lot of other, there are many other issues we could talk about, but I know your time is tight. Is there anything else we didn't discuss that you think is important for people to keep in mind right now?
Yeah, it's just that with the consultation policy that the president put out, tribal nations are urged to take the time. You know, we can get jaded because in the past we've been asked our opinion before, and in the past it has been ignored. But we believe this is different. We believe we're moving into a new era. And so tribal leaders all across the country need to pay close attention to those notices, and they need to get on those calls. Because if you don't exercise your voice, you abandon your ancestors and your future generations. And if we're not speaking up, people won't hear us.
Aaron Payment is chairperson of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. He's also the vice president of the National Congress of American Indians. Aaron, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.